Several years ago, the Yaltsin Zuchan Rocha told me that he was looking in the safe of the Zid HaSohar, safe of by a Dayan from Vilna. He was a Dayan in the days of Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon used to hold on to his whole daughter. They have a safe on Chumash where he gives a Dayan thinks in a certain way. So he gives Ma'am Akarim to Gemaris and to Shuvah, to Yishanim and Achorim that discuss different aspects of the Sedra and things that tickle his fancy. And Rabbi Yalta told me, I should take a look in that place, but it was very interesting, this place. You sometimes quote some of the Zid HaZohar from the Torah Shleimah quotes and others quotes. You're not really explaining that they're really quoting lock, stock, and barrel from him. They're just listing everything that he said. I never had a chance to look in the place until this morning. I saw on Parashas, after davening, I looked in the place, I'm sure. I saw on Parashas told us, he has all the famous discussions that all of the Machabim after him have. Apparently they must have used his sefer to begin with. But just notice on
the Zid HaZohar.
It was printed many times in Europe and then it was recently reprinted with more, with someone else wrote their orders on the bottom, along the same style as the original sefer was very interesting sefer. How come it? Now the passage by Yetha Yitzchak HaShem and Nech HaChristai by Yosele HaShem, they actually explained that they were both davening. Yitzchak was davening and Yitzchak was davening, and Hashem answered the prayers of Yitzchak, and not so much the prayers of Yosef. Hashem, Rashi quotes that it's Moshe Lo Yosef, and then the Tzivah Tzadik and Yosef, the Tzivah Tzadik and Tzadik. The Tzivah Moshe Lo Yosef. They quote the whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch, in Sinai Nun Gimel, in Arachayim, that some talks can say the halacha, that the two quotes in the name of the Rosh, Hashaila, if you have a person whose father was a big rabbi, but he himself is nothing special, and then you have another person who's a big tzaddik in the Palm Chasm, and his father is nothing special. So who is preferable to be the Basila? Who should be appointed with the Basila? So the Rosh says, Avada, the one who's a Palm Chasm, who's the Yesha Mind, who's the tzaddik, appoint him. What does it help the fact that the other guy has Yisus, but if he's a nobody, and the other one is a somebody, Avada, then his students are better than the other. So that's the two approaches of the name of the Rosh. Then in the Shulchan Aruch they have a discussion, but what if you have one who's a tzaddik ben tzaddik and the other is a tzaddik ben rasha? So Rashi seems to say, Rashi quotes from that, that it's preferable to have a tzaddik ben tzaddik and tzaddik than to have a tzaddik ben rasha. Unless one should say, that's what some Machareini suggest, that this is only when you're davening for yourself. Here he was davening for children. He wants the children and his kus and his wife's kus and his kus others, whatever. So if I have my own kus and his kus others, so then I stand to get a better grade than someone else who only has to rely on his own kus and he has no kus others. But if you're asking on behalf of the tzibur, there's some afraid I want to say, it doesn't make any difference whether you're a tzaddik man, tzaddik or a tzaddik man. Yeah, so just the kus others is not going to help you, so you should be a tzaddik. You can be with the one who's wish left to be a tzaddik. But the whole Samachlekes and Achrayim and Shulchan Aruch has been in the Gimel, whether this distinction between a Tzaddik and Tzaddik as opposed to a Tzaddik and Rashi is only by one who is mispower for himself, or even in the case of one who is mispower on behalf of the people. The Gemara in the first daf in Tainis speaks about Teva. So the Gemara says, when God created the world, he instituted Chukki HaTeva. But there are three in Yonim, three or four in Yonim that he didn't give over to in the hands of Teva. Yibam HaSeha is also in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is in HaSeha of Kriyas HaNation, one is in HaSeha of Yoledes, HaSeha of Shonim, right? And one says in HaSeha of Panasa, and the other one says Panasa is HaKadosh Shonim. The Gemara, to demonstrate this, the Gemara says different Sukkim. Where the Chumash says, like over here, by Yisrael Hashem, Atahariski said the Dam Tzad, but his daughter said he gave them a baby. And a different sukkim by Avraham, by Yitzchak, by Yankee, a different sukkim in Chumash and in Tanakh, it appears that giving birth to children is directly in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't leave it in the hands of Teva. Person said, asked Akasha, what do you mean that the rain is the Yadav Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We say in the davening, Ashtri Yitzchak, Shem Sarmayim. But there is a Saman, there's a Malach on the moon on the rain. And his name is Af. His name is Afri Uta? What's his name? Afri. So how can the Gemara say that it's not Biyad Malach? So the Achrenim give an answer over there. I don't remember what Taisha says. The Achrenim give an answer and they explain to the Sassemes and the Tzidikaisers and others say the same answer. That it doesn't mean that if the Gopher takes care of it directly, he also sends a Malach. But it just means that everything else in the world is totally b'teva, and that his Gopher, generally speaking, doesn't intervene. Once in a while, he'll intervene and make a mess. But same teva. And these three things, the Rama Chukia Teva. So the Gopher always sends a special Malach to take care of it the way he wants it. But he doesn't. He has, of course, he has a malach. Absolutely, the malach is the moon and the rain. But he doesn't appoint the malach and say, "Okay, now take over and do whatever you want." He gives the malach explicit instructions every day that he wants this much to have the baby, that much to have the baby, this much to rain over here. He can make a panach and so on. That's the terror to the kind of different kinds of malach. And sometimes the malach goes on his own, and sometimes it's teva, and sometimes malach just does. Malach hashliyah just does exactly what it does. Both wants you to do. The Chabad Chaim points out in one of his Torahs, when we daven in the Shemoneh Esrei, there appears to be a bit of a redundant expression. We daven, we're supposed to daven, Atov Yibor Li'olam Hashem, V'chai Meisim Ator, Rav Lehoshia. I have a lot of Balbat, a lot of you guys, is that time you were V'chai Meisim, Ata Rav Lehoshia. So that's not the correct form. So then Mechai Meitim Ator, you are the one who's Mechai Meitim, Kama, Rav Lehoshia. So the Chavis Chaim points out, why do you say Ator a second time? Say, Ator Gibor Li'olam Hashem, Mechai Meitim Ator, Rav Lehoshia. The whole paragraph goes on Ator Slach. Ator Gibor Li'olam Hashem, Mechai Meitim, Rav Lehoshia, Mechal Kachayim, Mechai Meitim, Rav Meim Rav. Why do you mention again Ator? So he explains that the Kavana of the Nusach of the Tzila is alluding to this, this passage in the davening is alluding to this Gemara in Taina. I told you, Bolei Yom Hashem, he sends it with Hashem in general. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does all kinds of great things. And he created Teva. It's one of the greatest things that he ever did. He created Teva. And then the Teva rolls down on its own and he doesn't intervene. But then we say, Mechaim Eitim Ator, that you do Tchiyot HaMeitim. Mechal Kachayim Lechetim, Mechaim Eitim, Rachim Rabin. These things are what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in person, but he didn't give these over the Yad HaMalach, and that's why it's the Rachamim Rabin. This will be the Yad Malach. The Malach would decide whether we that we don't deserve. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has more Rachmanis than Teva, so because these things are Mechaim Eitim Ator, because of the Yorosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bedatkeh, so that's why we stress that he does these, and these are therefore the Rachamim Rabin. So the Gemara derives this from the Pesukim and Chumash. One of the several Pesukim is this one. The Gemara goes right across a different part. So the Gemara's Lashon is Gimel Maseichah, the other Kashon Kodesh Baruch. So the Maseich needs a key to open up a lot, to open up a situation. The Gemara wants to quote a passage that says, Vayiftach Hashem Es Rachmo. The Gemara wants to quote a passage that says exactly Lashon Maseich that he opened up. The Gemara quotes a different part. But it's the same all of the Pesukim Chumash. If you're not interested in the word Maseichah to open up, just interested in demonstrating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of this directly, you have this passage as well as many other Pesukim. And the very next passage, by Shrosh Yisrael HaBanah Mikirbo, there's quite a literature in front that all comes apparently from this Revit Azov. He was the first one who quoted this. That the Karoim demonstrated that in this passage you see that when a woman is pregnant, the embryo, even before the baby, even before it's born, is called a bane. So therefore they felt that it's forbidden to shech the behemoth who bear it, because the Torah says, Osel b'ez b'no, lo yishish chatu b'yemecha. So if you shech a behemoth, that a parah who bear it, the behemoth who bear it, so the uber is called a bane, as it says over here, by Shurat Yitzhak Bonim Yishim. So they held that it's also lishcha the tam who bear it. So the Rambam, right, Talachas, the Rambam usually just quotes what it says in his mouth. Once in a while, the Rambam just writes a funny statement. You don't know exactly what he's driving at. But the Rambam in the middle of Hilchos Shechita writes, Mutal Lishcha Tzitzam Uberes Uba Yerachimah. That it's permissible to shech the Behemim Uberes Uba Yerachimah. So what is he driving at? Of course, Mutal Lishcha Tzitzam Uberes. That's never a discussion. The Gemara has a whole Perek in Chulin, Perek Neimam Kasha, the fourth Perek. Yishech the behemah mu'beret is a din of ben pekua, when the ben pekua is also, when the ben pekua is muta, when a new shechita starts, mom with the rabbanon, with the rest, different details, when it's metame, when it's not metame, kol chiever, but that it's muta lishchah tamu beret, what's the halamina that not? So some point out, it's very strange, that the classical commentaries have a lot of difficulty with Rambam, they don't know exactly what he's driving at. And others point out that the Rambam just coming, lohechim ulidom shalak harayim, that he had a lot of people who followed the karayim in his time, and every once in a while he writes a statement in the Anach HaZaka to attack the Karani. So this is also to attack the Karani. Most of the Shkhan Tamadera is that there's no problem. Aye, but there should be a problem. Says by Shotu Tu Haban and the Kir, but you think that it Uber is called a bank. So some say that it's no kasha, that the Torah was written after they were born already. So the Torah refers to them as born. It means that the babies, the boys were jumping in the mother's belly. What do you mean, the boys? They weren't even born yet. Later they were born and they were boys. So we would speak today, we would say, and the boys were jumping inside the mother's belly. Al-Shem Achata. That's our assumption. Others say that even if it is called a bay, even if you should assume that it is called a bay, Rabbi Yaakov Shaul Nathanson writes, and his truth is that there's no problem of Oto Vezgeno, that the only time you violate Oto Vezgeno is if you do two separate shechitas, one shechita on the mother, and a separate shechita on the blood. But if you do one shechita and you kill two birds with one stone, except the mother and the blood with one shechita, then there's no Easter. That's the question, is that correct or not? Maybe the Karen Svara is more correct. It's only an Easter if you do two shechitas.
Don't you know what?
Where Michel just says, what's the answer to their time? Why shouldn't it be an Easter? But I don't think it's in what's the answer to their time? Why talk is it Musa to Shef and Samuel there? The Rambam says, there'll be Erechimoy. That the fact that the Shechita saying is Chal on the Vlad is because I treat the Vlad Keiva Meiva Reho. So it's Keiva Meiva Reho. So I have a Shef with two different groups. That's how the Rambam answers. Yosef Michel says a different answer that's a little bit questionable. His answer is that you only violate the Easter if you do two Shechitas. If you do the Shechita on the mother and the Shechita on the Vlad. But if you do if you do one ma'aseh shechita, and thereby you accomplish that two behemoths became nishchat, a son, then it wouldn't be a violation of those there's the number. So the question is halacha l'ma'aseh, not lahotzi. The question is halacha l'ma'aseh, is Rabbi Yosef Shaul right or not? So from that mishnah that you mentioned in Chumen, it might perhaps indicate that he's not right. From that mishnah would appear, the Gemara has a whole discussion there about shechting the grandmother and the granddaughter, then shechting the daughter. Afterwards, that you really violated double avera. How did you violate that? That's why the din really should have been that you learned ishtayim. Why should the din really have been that you learned ishtayim? Why is it really two averas? If the avera is to do two different shechitas, it means that the avera is the second shechita. The first shechita is not an avera at all. The avera is the second shechita. So you only did so shechting the first bein is just a tanai. You're not permitted to shecht an animal today whose mother or whose vlad was already nishcha today. That the mother and the vlad were nishcha today, so I have two reasons why I'm not a shechter. But it's not two averis, it's two reasons that the Easter Rosh Hashanah should apply. So if I do a shechita on the vlad, I'll do a shechita on the middle, I already did on the mother and the vlad, on the granddaughter. Grandmother and the granddaughter already shechted today. So I have two reasons why it's forbidden to shech the, let's say I shech the two daughters, and then I shech the mother. Also, machlokes hatanai. So why should there be a machlokes hatanai? I should say that I have two reasons why it's in violation of Oseh Lizbono. Let's say a woman became a nida 1 month and she didn't go to mikvah, then she had a riyaz dam the next month, and someone is bald out. So she's two nidas. There are two reasons why she's a nida. So you're bald out, you're like achas. No one would say you're like ishtayim, even if you open a din. It's a lady, guys, it's true. Even if you open a din of Yisra Chalalisa, you wouldn't say that she's a double nida. There are two reasons why the woman is a nida. So there are two reasons why there's a nida, Oseh Lizbono. So how do the Tanaim say that there is a double Easter? And even the other Tanaim hold that you only like Achas, a different reason why. Amikra Adin Gemara says they really hold that it should have been like a Shtai. should have been considered as two averus. So Bechor you see from the Gemara clearly, you see from that whole discussion and many other aspects of the din of Oseh Zeno, it's not like Rabbi Yosef Shaul Matnissen, that the nature of the Yisr is you're not allowed to cause that Oseh Zeno should be nishchad b'yonecho. It doesn't matter, one shchita, two shchita, Bechor shouldn't make any difference. That's where the Rambam gave his answer. Muta Rishkul is Hamad Deris, Kazul B'Yerachimu, a different answer.
You could.
But it's not, if you would have said that the shechting of the mother is a condition and then the Yisr is the shechting of the blood, then it would have been clear. But the Yisr only is when you shech the second one. When you shech both the Vasachas, you didn't violate any Yisr. You just set up a condition. You've done the Tanai, but you didn't do the Yisr at all. But once you say that the Yisr is not the cause that they should both be nishchad b'yamecha, so why should it be so mukhlech at all that you should require two ma'aser shchitas? As far as I understand, if you can do a stunt and do it with one shchitas, certainly be awesome. That's perhaps so. The Rambam felt that it was a good kasha. What the Karaim were worried about was a good kasha, and he gave a different answer. He said that uba yerachimah, that the Seir HaHetzer that is nishchad b'shchitas simo, is that it's treated ke'eva me'ivareh. Whatever you hold in general, whether ubi yarechima, uba lav yarechima, is it machlekes in general, machlekes in Rambam and the Rai, without a pasuk, hukos avodin. But over here, by then pekuo, that's exactly what the halacha says. Here we say ubi yarechima, that I treat the uber as if it's ke'eva me'ivareh. I treat it as if it's not a separate group. That's exactly why it's mita b'shchita tzayin. Pasuk has a different lashon by the names that were given to Yaakov and Esau. By Yaakov it says Vayikru Shmo Yaakov. By Esau it says Vayikru Shmo Esau. Vayikru, Rashi says everybody calls his name Esau. Everybody calls him Esau. Hakol Kolotem Kishohaya Nata Benigma Atui. Esau was like Atui. He was fully grown. When he was born, he was ready, full of hair. His whole body was full of hair. But Yikru means that it was Nikro Bishikol. So the Revid Azov has a comment. He says in Hilchot Gittin, he's a guy. He thinks in terms of Shulchanah. So he says in Hilchot Gittin, Revid is when you have to write Shemus in a get, whether Shemus or Derais or the Rabban or Machlokes. But whenever, when you have to write the Shemus in a get, so the Halacha says that there are three Shemus that you have to consider. One is the Shem Arisa, the name that the parents gave when the baby was in the cradle. Shem Arisa, the name that was officially given. Then there's the name Shemikro Bishikol, the name that everybody calls him by. But you shouldn't think that only the name that the parents gave officially, the Koresh Mabriso, that's the official name. And if everybody calls him Yankel or Shmer or Beryl, that doesn't count. No? The Shem Shemikru B'Tikol counts. And then the Shem Sheol Lo Bator, the name that he uses when he gets an Ali. These are the three official names. So he says in the Pasuk, he says, Vayikru Shmo, Esau, not only Vayikru Shmo Yaakov, that the father called him Yaakov, Pasuk, the Yitzchak called him Yaakov. Rashi quotes in the Medrash, so you showed him that Avram's name was changed and Yaakov's name was changed and Yitzchak's name was never changed. So somebody showed him say because the Yitzchak Shema Yaakov, the man who says HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Shema Yaakov, the Baruch Hu gave him the name originally. Why do you have to change the name? His name was changed. Oh, excuse me. A different kasha. Why? Yitzchak's name was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, right? And that is saying. The Pasuk says, he's going to have a baby to cross the Shema Yitzchak, but Yaakov's name was changed, and there's no Yitzchak to call him with the name Yaakov. And by Avraham, his name was changed, and there is an Yitzchak to call him with the name Avram. So that's what some say, because the name Avram was not given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to have his name. And Yitzchak's name was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of the Chumash. And Yaakov's name is also given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when he got his additional name, there's nothing wrong with the first name. It's also given by the Rebbe. All three of us had to have names min HaShemayim. All three had to have names from the son of God. Somebody should say it like that. And the other Pshat Rashi writes, Vayikru Shmo Yaakov, that his father gave the name Yaakov. But the Pasuk Vayikru Shmo Esau means if he calls, you see that that name also counts. And the Pasuk by Yigdalu HaNe'orim is a famous Medrash that everybody quotes by Bar Mitzvah, that up until the age of 13, Yigdalu means that it became developed and they became Bar Mitzvah. Up until the age of 13, the father has the obligation to be Mechanech his son. Then after the age of 13, kid is on his own. Sounds like there's no more chiyuv chinuch.
Very strange.
No chiyuv chinuch after the age of 13.
That's when the chinuch has begins. That's when the kid can understand learning better. No, so the father has to teach him more. Had to do the mitzvahs even more.
Very strange. That's what it says in the Medrash. And therefore, the father should recite the bracha. So that's the source of that bracha. The Darkei Moshe writes in Or HaChaim, the Rama writes in the bottom of the Torah, it quotes from the early Achronim that the bracha should be recited b'shem Malchus. And the Medrash that the deducer that we have doesn't say, but other versions of the Medrash quote that the bracha is b'shem Malchus. The Rama and Or HaChaim and Shulchan Aruch write that even though that's what the Achronim say, the meaning is that you don't say b'shem Malchus. The Gur Magan says no, that since there is such a deuce in the Medrash that you should say b'shem Malchus, it has a marker in the Medrash, so you should say. Machlokes, different practices, whether you say the bracha of Baksha Pazani Mishela Malchus or not. I heard have a whole discussion, why when a girl becomes a bat mitzvah, why doesn't the father say a bracha then? Why should there be a difference between a son and a daughter? Do you need 10 people? I don't think it's so enough. It means that the minig is to say the bracha when it gets an aliyah. The daughter doesn't get an aliyah. No, no. It's only a minute though. If it's really a din, you have to say the bracha, so it's unrelated to the aliyah. Totally unrelated to the aliyah. What? Shvacha terutim. They don't really give anything good. Some say it has to do with teaching Torah, and the father has an obligation to teach Torah to the daughter. What does that do with teaching Torah? That's how the marriage begins. Up until the age of 13, the father has to teach Torah to the son, and then the kid is on his own, and the father says, Bosh HaPatrani. But the father has to teach Yerushalayim and mitzvahs and lead his Torah and everything to the daughter also, the same as to the son. The son has to teach Torah also in addition, but the daughter has to teach 98% of what he teaches, the son is supposed to teach the daughter too. So why shouldn't he say Bosh HaPatrani? The cash is better than the Torah. Rashi quotes from the Medrash, why was Yaakov cooking nazid, by Yosef Yaakov nazid? So he says that also Yom Avram Avinu passed away, and he was cooking adashim, shedomet with galgal, shavel with galgal achayze boilom. That's why the meaning today is that people give, by the students of Roy, you give eggs, you give bagels, things that are round. My cousin told me that once someone called him up on Chalamoy, that they went to a funeral, they wanted to know about a Sudas Avroh, what do you give? So it was Chalamoy Pesach, and he wasn't thinking, so he said, the minig is that you give cooked eggs and bagels. And then he hung up the phone, he didn't know who it was, and then he said, Yival, they're going to go buy bagels on Pesach, on Chalamoy Pesach. So the Chalamoy Pesach, you don't have to have bagels, you should have round shmurmas. The minute is you have round things, that's based on this pasuk. This the Medrash assumes that this was the Sudas Avroh, that Yaakov cooked the Sudas Avroh on behalf of Yitzchak. Yaakov was not an Avelis, Yitzchak was an Avelis. And the din is that the Ovil, the Yom Rishon, is also Lachon Mishalom. When he comes back from the Beis HaKor, it's also Lachon Mishalom. And Machloit is a Rishon, whether Yom Rishon, all the meals that he eats by Yom Rishon, is also Lachon Mishalom. Different opinions. Let's say the Tavur is 8 o'clock in the morning. So the Ovid is going to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper. Let's say the Shki is 8 o'clock at night. He's going to eat three meals in a day before the Yom Rishon of Avelis is going to be up. So some Rishonim, the whole Tosfos says in my cotton that all the meals that the Ovid eats for Yom Rishon, he's not allowed to eat Mishalom. And others say, no, the din is food of Rishonim is also Lechem Mishalom. Let's say if the Ovid comes back from the Beis HaKvoris 10 minutes before the Shki, and he doesn't have a chance to do anything, he has to have mincha, he has to have mar, whatever, and then the Suda Rishon happens to be supper, which is on the Yom HaShem. Some Rishonim say that the Suda Rishon is also Lechem Mishalom, whenever the Suda Rishon is. And we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, not so. We pass in only the Suda Rishon and the Yom HaRishon. The first meal that he eats on the first day. If he has two or three meals on the first day, the next meal doesn't have to be Mishal Acher. And if he has the first meal on the second day, then there's no din of Suda Savron. But because it's a din, it's also Lechem Mishalom, so that's why Yaakov is cooking the meal on behalf of Yitzchak. There is a comment in the Shulchan, a mystic Parshan, Parshan Chayitzor, usually everybody talks about Avelis and Sudas Avroh, that has all the dinim of Avelis and Kfura. So the Kaddisha usually used to have a suda either Zayin Oder or Parshas Chayisor. So Chayisor has all the Dinim of Keva Yisrael. So the Shulchan says in his drosha for Parshas Chayisor, some of the Dinim of Suda Tavor. So he says that the Acherim are obligated to prepare a meal with Achilu Shtir, something to eat and something to drink, to give the Ovil. So Rabbi Yosef Engel asks in Moed Katan, in his Ha'oris on the Gemara, how does the Shulchan know that you have to give Mashke? The Gemara says, Asalecha Mishalom. Maybe it's only Achila. How does he know that Shti is implied also? But some say that it's based on the Medrash on this topic, that the Medrash continues further. Halitainam in Ho'adom, Ho'adom Azeh, that there were two red things. There was red wine, and there was red Adashim. And the Medrash says, Rashi quotes in the Medrash, that this was the Surah Savror. So perhaps it's mashma from the Medrash that it's required, in Tzadik Redin, it's required that the Surah Savror should have a drink and should also have Achila. It's not enough just to have Achila. In fact, there is an opinion quoted by the Hagoras Maimoni that one is not Yotze to the Savro unless he gives Yayin. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, I think we mentioned it. Mar Sanhedrin says, we mentioned on Parshas Noach. Mar says in Sanhedrin, Liba Yayin Elo Nachem Boi Eko Avelo. So the Pasuk says, to Sheikh Elo Oivet, the Yayin Lemari Nefesh, that you should give wine to the people who are aggravated and in the state of Avelo in order that they should drink away their aggravation. Some Rishonim say that you're not Yotze Sudas Avroa if you don't give Yayin. Some Rishonim say you're not Yotze unless you give Bosa the Yayin. Now the Bosa is that in order there should be a Sudah Hashuva. Bosa is that there should be a Sudah Hashuva. I think it has to be somebody else. That's the question on this medrash. I mean, Yankif was still by the father's home. It says by Yisdulu Hanorim. It's just by mitzvah. He's still staying in the father's home. What is in the dormitory? Learning in the dormitory. So he only visits once in a while. So how is that called Mishal Achir? And he took the money from his own piggy bank and he bought the from his bar mitzvah gift. Yep. So it wasn't, he was going out already. Out of the house. Dormitory. He was a wild kid, he was hunting. Okay. That's a shadow. Is that called Mishal Achem? Mm-hmm. It's one big family, one big household, so it's not called Mishal Achem. I don't know. The Medrash interprets, Rashi quotes Medrash, that it's referring to the Sudas Avroa that he prepared for his father Yitzchak. Esav is willing to sell him the Bechora because he says, Hina Necha Helech Lamus, Volam Mazali Bechora. Why is he Helech Lamus? Hina Necha Helech Lamus. Rashi quotes Alderach Hadrash from the Medrash. So they asked, what's the Bechora all about? What does it consist of? So he says, well, you got to do Avodah HaKarbonis, and it's very dangerous stuff, that if you do Avodah, Shtu Yayin, Kuei Rosh, then it's Mikvei Shemayim, so he says, yeah, Mikvei Shemayim, I'm going to die, so I don't want it. That's a Rashi quote from the Medrash. But the Pasuk Shat, that this Apikshuta doesn't mean like that. Apikshuta sounds like, I'm going to die till I'm going to get the Bechora. It's going to take such a long time. I'm going to die before then. Why does he think he's going to die before he gets the Bechora? What led him to believe that he was going to die? He was on drugs. He was starving now, he was hungry. That's what it means, I'm going to die. So the Rashbam quotes from his father, the mayor, Rashi Salomon, the Rashbam quotes from his father that he was a hunter. And he used to hunt in the jungle. He thought he was going to die at a very young age. He thought he was going to die before his father. They didn't think that he would Yarshan. The whole idea of the Bechora is that after the father dies and he gets Mishnayim, he gets some Kusan, the leader of the household, he knew for sure that his father was going to outlive him. Yitzchak was going to outlive him because he led such a dangerous life. He's always going into the jungle. The Rashbam quotes from his father. Rashbam quotes from Rabbeinu Meir. His father, that's the Pshat. So Taka, based on that Rashbam, the Navi Yehuda quotes it. Doesn't quote the Rashbam, quotes his Pasuk. So based on that, the Navi Yehuda has a tshuva, Pishchi Shuman Yevedei quotes it, that it's also for Jews to go hunting for fun. If you hunt for Parnasa, the people do things that are dangerous for Parnasa also. The Pasuk says, they love who not say it's not sure. The Gemara says, a person does all kinds of dangerous things for Parnasa.
But if you just do it to sport, then it's also because you put your life into danger. I was talking about Balthasar. I was talking about Balthasar. If you don't plan to eat what you catch. That's going to sell it to a guy. Fishing is not dangerous at all. No. Okay. That's the style of hunting. Hunting is so dangerous as you can. He was hunting with Dubin Varayas. He was hunting in a jungle. That's why it's dangerous. It depends where you go hunting. And then you're talking about hunting for sport like all of the going hunt. What are the going crazy? What are the going hunts for sport if it's so dangerous? The character is not so dangerous. How can he say that it's in his face the kind is like that? He says he once discussed it with his grandfather, the Beit Yitzchak. He says he couldn't understand. How can another Jew say that it's an issue of hunting for sport is Mishum Sakana? It depends where you're hunting. Are you hunting in the jungle, in the African jungles where there are wild lions and bears and who knows what? I don't know. Or you're hunting in a plain place where a lot of people hunt like that. He says he thinks there is a different issue. There is the Gemara Navar Dizor in the first paragraph. The Gemara says, the Gemara says it refers to Kanigi. It refers to hunting. That's a Chukas HaGoyim. He said that's like a quote in Shulchan Aruch the other day. There are more quotes in the other day that you're not allowed to go hunting for fun. Because it's an issue of Chukas HaGoyim. But to say that it's also because you put your life in danger depends whether you are putting your life or your body in danger or not.
Except the hunting people who started in New York.
They're killed. Where did they go hunting? Well, they got killed by the on the highway.
No. No.
No.
You know, they turned back
when
they started to get the rabbit or whatever, and then shot him by mistake.
Okay. Okay. What prompted the Medrash to say that Ho'adom Ho'adom Azem means that there was red wine and there was red adashim? Because the Pasuk says later, Vayocha Vayesh, it says that he drank. Where did he drink? What did he drink? Drank the soup, probably enough. But that's why the Medrash says no, there was red wine and there was red. And it was Vera Das. Spaghetti with Teddy.
When Rabbi Yosef Ben Gvoya said, we didn't know Shigia, why did you say Vera Bolei? You were saying,
now, yes, how does the Shilchus know that for the first of Sudas Avra, the midst of Sudas Avra, you're obligated to give both eating and drinking? Your mother goes to use the Lashon Achimah. So some say, because of this Medrash, that the prophet says here, that this was a Sudas. Okay. Yeah, this Pasha, the Medrash says that this was Sudas Avraham. It says by Yochel Vayesh that Yaakov had prepared everything in the Sudas Avraham for his father, and then when Esav came, they gave him from the Sudas that he prepared. You see that he prepared drink and food. Not such a raya, because if a person eats, of course he's going to be thirsty. But how do you know that Nikar Adin, you're obligated to prepare? That's what Abiyaz Zengel Taina. I think it's not only Sakana Sosa. Let's say to go skiing, and a lot of people break limbs when they go ski. That's all funny. So. Okay. It depends whether the topic is one that people are nervous about or not. If people are nervous about, okay, depends on the person. But those people who are nervous are forbidden to go skiing. Unless it's a 50-50 suffix, then even if you're not nervous, that's called a suffix. But if it's less than 50-50 suffix, then in Sakana, it depends on what it is. If the fact is that every other person goes injured, then it would be forbidden to either go, even if you hold that you're such a static and you're going to say, kill them with your eyes closed every time you come. It would still be forbidden to you to go, because that would be a 50-50 suffix. But even if it's less than 50-50, then if it's less than 50-50, then it depends on whether you're nervous. If you're not nervous and you just close your eyes and say, fill them, then it's more. If you are nervous, then it's okay. The
Rashi says that there was a Rav Boris and Yitzchak was about to leave to Eretz Mitzrayim, just like Avraham Avinu had gone to Eretz Mitzrayim. The Baruch Shem told him, no, that you don't have to leave to Eretz Mitzrayim. The Rav is not for the fellow, stay here. You're only permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah every Jew has to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says you're only permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael if the prognosis is absolutely awful, terrible, unbelievable, bad. But he thought it was going to be awful, and then it turned out that it wasn't. It says, Yitzchak Boretz Ahi. He became a multimillionaire just from agriculture that year. But he thought it was terrible, and it turned out that it wasn't terrible. Just from agriculture he came in. Maybe everywhere else was. Right. He thought that the Parnassus was going to be so bad he's going to have to leave like in the days of Avram, that I had to leave. But Hashem said, no. Stay in this land and nothing will happen. There you must have our Ethicals. Stay here. There's no need to leave our Ethicals. Whenever the Parnassus is not so bad, you have to stay in our Ethicals. So he stayed and he became very, very rich. In fact, it says, Vayelech Yishalof V'godel Ad Kigodal Miot. He became Gor, so rich. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Shehoi Omrim, the people used to say, Zebel Prezesu Shoyitzchak V'leitasu V'zohav V'shalav Yimelach. A very, what does the Medrash have to say what the people were saying? That they'd rather have the Zebel Prezesu of Yitzchak is worth more than anybody else who's cast of his Gor. Must have had a lot of Prezos. Zebel is worth money. And he had so many Prezos, there was so much Zebel, so the people said they'd rather have his Zebel than his cast of his Gor. What does Medrash have to say what the people said? The Pasuk says that he was rich. That's what it means. Nah. Usually it's assumed that the pshat is like this, that this is an exaggeration. It's clearly an exaggeration, no? So the question is, let's say if I make $30,000 a year, and another Rebbe, let's say, makes $20,000 a year. So he says, oh, Chef, the teacher's in YU, he makes $50,000. If I would make $50,000, they would say, Chef, the teacher's in YU, he makes $100,000. Whatever you make, and the other guy makes less, the other guy has less, so he exaggerates what you have. But in order to exaggerate, to say, Zevel Pedesu Shoyitzchak, like Kasha Vizavis or Amela, to say such an exaggeration, he must have been really, 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 really rich. So that's why the Pasuk says, Vayelech Yishalok V'Godel Ad Kigodal Miyod. The Pasuk says he was a multi-millionaire. So Rashi just quotes Medrash, and that's why the exaggeration was so great. If he would have just been rich, they wouldn't have exaggerated so much. But if the exaggeration was so great, then it's a siman that he really was very, very rich. So that's why the Pasuk speaks with such exaggerated terms. The Pasuk speaks and the people spoke because he really was very wealthy. So that's why he was forbidden to leave Eretz Yisrael. This was still part of Eretz Yisrael. He was forbidden to leave because the Parnassah was not so terrible. So he was also afraid that they would kill him because of his wife. He was afraid that they would kill him and take his wife away. So he said that it was his sister. So did they believe him? Yes, they believed him after a while. But this Vayit Yochel Sham Hayom, and after a while, they believed him, they assumed that it was his wife, and then Vayashka and Melach Melach Pish from the Arachalon, and he saw that it wasn't his sister, that it was really his wife. On the Seder Adir HaZohav, he refers you to a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Pei, the end of Kiddushin. The Gemara says, Asokul Mesosh Malach HaZokas. I don't know who a couple are. When they come to town, they say that they're husband and wife. Or a couple come and they say that they're brother and sister, mother and son, whatever. So you assume that it's true. And if someone is Bual HaHoisho, so you'll give them Nisa. Because you assume that she really is an Eshitzit. If somebody will be, if the man will be Boal Achoso, will give him Malkus. How do you know that it's a sister? He said that it's a sister. But the end of Boal Basu says that this is only if they were there for 30 days, and the Rashbua, now the Rishonim say, because if maybe one day, 2 days, 15 days, 20 days, maybe they'll tell a lie and they'll act out, they'll make believe that they're married, make believe their mother and son, or father and daughter, brother and sister, whatever. But to act it out for 30 days, that's already difficult, more difficult. So we'll assume if they're making believe for 30 days that their mother and son, brother and sister, husband and wife, so that probably is the case. We have the right to assume that it probably is the case. So that's what the Rishon ourselves says, that perhaps the Gemara got it from this passage, the Lashon. That after they were there for a significant amount of time, And then Abimelech assumed that it's really his brother and his sister, and then he was startled to realize that it wasn't so, that it was really a husband and a wife. This was an exception to the rule. Normally, Kiyachol Shama Yomim, you have the right to assume that it really is so, and here you cannot assume so. That's how the Rizil Hazor suggests. Kiyachol Shama Yomim, he suggests me Shloshim Yom. Some significant amount of time, parallel to what the Gemara says, should be Shloshim Yom. Well, Penkin had a different thing. If you have a civil marriage, the question is, they think that they're married civilly, they're not interested in getting married religiously. So Penkin thought that you still need a get. All the other rabbanim thought that you don't need a get. We're talking about a different thing. A couple comes and they say that they were married religiously. They claim that they were, not that they say they were married civilly. They claim they were married religiously. But then the Gemara says that you assume if they act out as if they're husband and wife for 30 days and they claim that they got married by a rabbi, that they're married according to the din, so then you assume that they're telling the truth. After 30 days of seeing the way, before 30 days, he wouldn't have taken his word for it that they're brother and sister. He would be, Abimelech would have wondered, maybe it's really an atheist. But after 30 days of looking like his brother and sister, so he assumed that it was so, and then Abimelech, he was going to take her as his wife, Abimelech was going to take her. And then he was surprised to realize that it wasn't his sister, that it was really his wife. Why was he so surprised? Because it was Zalchol Shamayam. It was after a significant amount of time. That's what the Seva Tzava Kabbalah says.
Yeah.
You said that part from our books. Yeah. You said you said it was well. Okay. Thank you. No, but just the Rizid also points out that the phrase sounds like after a significant amount of time, then you have the right to assume that it is correct. What is that based on? So from the self Malach Hazokas. What would mean Hazoka? Hazoka means the Ruba Delay said, come on, that it's probably so. That if a person acts out for 10 days, maybe he's faking, but if he acts out for 30 days or more, that this is his brother, this is his sister, whatever, this is a wife, so you assume that it's so. So it's based on a rov. The problem is that the Rambam says in Hilchos Yitzurigir that you can't give din nefesh, you can't give misa based on a rov. You cannot give misa based on a rov. So the writer asks, how can it be? You don't give Misa based on a rov? It's against the Gemara. So from the Tos Malachazok, the Rambam himself quotes the Gemara that he gives Misa based on this rov. This Chazok, it doesn't mean Chazok, it means a Ruba Delay to come up. So you see that you do give Misa. So the Raga Chover answers that this is a different kind of Misa. This is a different kind of rov. It depends what the rov is trying to ascertain. If he's trying to ascertain a Metzius of a brother and a sister, a father and a daughter, a mother and a son, just to identify who the people are, a description of who they are, or whether a woman is an islandist or not an islandist, so then you go basaroi, or let's say Abu Albito. So how do you know that that's the father? Maybe the mother was Mizana with somebody else and her husband is not the father of the daughter. So the Gemara says Azmina basaruba. So if you're just using the rov to identify that this is the father, this is the daughter, and so on, that's what the Rambam holds, that you would follow rov. Those are all the Gemaras. And when does the Rambam say that you don't follow rov? If you're trying to ascertain that a maisa occurred, to be mevar that a maisa occurred, then rov would not be sufficient. So the question is, if so, if that's the pshat in the Rambam, that rov is only good to be mevar and metzius of a fact, but not to be of a situation, to be mevar the metzius that was, that a woman is not an islandess, or that a woman is my sister, that she's my daughter, and so on. But to be mevara, that a maisa occurred, and that's when the Rambam says the rov is no good. So how does the Rambam quote the Gemara that if a man and a woman come, and they act as the opposite case from over here, man and woman come and they act as if they are husband and wife, then we assume that they are husband and wife. There you're assuming that the umdina, the rov, the ruba delay to come on of hanhogir, of the chazaka, the fact that they're living together like that is an indication that a maisa kedushin occurred. A couple can't be married without a maisa kedushin. There's no such thing as from the day he was born, he was naturally married. It's impossible. Someone had to make a Maisa Kedushin. So there you're using the rov of the fact that they're living together, Kederach Yishvi Yishta, for 30 days, to be levar, then a ma'aseh kiddushin occurred. So doesn't this contradict the answer given by the Ragachover? So the answer is, that's Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in one of his tshuvas, the answer is that there are two different dinims. Self-clean, the source of Malach HaZok is two different dinims. If a couple come and they say that their brother and sister, like over here, Yitzchak and Rivka, or they say that their father and daughter, mother and son, then the Ruba the later come on that they're acting and out for 30 days, indicates that it probably is true. That's Mavar, that is an issue. But if a couple come and they say that their husband and wife, that we follow the role and we assume that there was a Maitre Kedushin, it's not because we can figure out that there was a Maitre Kedushin. The fact that they're living together, the Rav Chaim Volozhin writes this, and he quotes that there's a Mivosh that seems to say like that. The fact that they're living together now is the Kedushin. Is the Kedushin. Even if it's not true that there was a Maitre, either they claim that they were married, and they're living together now. Right. So we say that the fact that they're having beer together now, on the assumption that they are married, they claim that they're married. How do we know that they're having beer? Because they're living together in the same house. We're not inside the house. So how do we're the Yedei Kedushin? The Gemara says, Hein Hein Eni Yichud, Hein Hein Eni Beer. Now, Hein Hein Eni Yichud, Hein Hein Eni Beer means a different thing. That you have Kedusha Kesu Shtar and Dir. And Moses says, you need Eidus Matim Adal. Eidus Philadelphia requires that the Eidus should see the giving over the ring. The Eidus should see the giving over of the Shtar. But what about by Dir? The Eidus should see the Maitre Dir. The Gemara says that's improper. So the, and the Hagoras Maimini quotes the Tshuvas Maimini quotes the Tshuvas from the Maharam Ruttenberg, the Shmuel quotes all this, and Hilchot Kedushin. That the Tshuvas in the back of each statement and the Rambam are Tshuvas Maimini, collected by the same author as the Hagoras Maimini. He has the Tshuvas from the Maharam. The beer now, and he closes the door. The agent stands outside for a few minutes. So they assume that he did the beer. What if the man is living in an apartment and he didn't say he's going to be Makadosh the beer? We don't know when he's having beer. Maybe the wife isn't needed today. How do I know what he's saying? Has beer every day? Every night when he goes to sleep, he has beer? He doesn't have every night. Sometimes the wife is Torah, sometimes she's command. But if I see that they're living together, it looks like they're living like a husband and a wife for a month, I assume that during some of that time he must have had beer. So Rav Chaim Volozhin says, based on the Tshuvas of Rav Rosh, it's not that we say that the fact that they're living together, kederach yishtu v'yishtu, for more than 30 days, serves as the ruba de leisa kamon, that it's true what he said, that he had already been mekadosh previously, no? The Rambam says you can't rely on a rov to be mevarah that a ma'aseh occurred. That is that living together, kederach yishtu v'yishtu now, so we assume that this is the kedusha kes, this is the kedusha bia taking place under our eyes. This is the kedusha bia. Charlotte, but why should that be so? But if they claim that they already were married, so you don't see that every time they do beer, they don't have beer l'shem issues having beer because they're married already. They didn't have das kedushin at this time of beer. So the Chaim Volozhin assumes that it's none of show. Either you assume that they already had done kedushin previously, and if they didn't, so then Navarro she's an issue. And about them married, and if that, in the event that that's not true, that they already had kiddushin, so then we assume that now they're living together the same kiddushin. So why do you have to have a month? So they assume in a month that probably he must have had beer with her once, the same kiddushin. Not so glad. But he says that it's not the same as the other din. Rav Chaim Volozhin says that the two din in the Gemara and the Rambam are not the same. A father and a man and a woman come to town. They say that the brother and sister, mother and son, father and daughter, that they live together for 30 days like that, who's going through this act, we assume it's so. That's because of the self-in-the-self of Malach HaZokah. So Ruba de Leisa Kamon is Mavarer, that it's probably true that their father and son, mother and daughter, brother and sister. But if they live together, it's Derech Yishto,
that we assume that it's so. It's not the same that we assume that it's so. A robe is not sufficient to give din in Vashon, to construct that a ma'aseh occurs. You have to say here a little differently, Zokter, that the Eidim in the neighborhood who know that they're living Kederach Ish V'Yishto have the right to assume that in the course of the month they must have been together once or twice. And that's called Eidus L'Kiyum Adorah. That's called Eidus L'Kiyum Adorah, that they have a Kiddushin taking place now. It's a Chiddush.
Maybe you can say that what Rosh Hashanah really meant was not that you can only use the robe to borrow the seeds, and that might be what he's saying. You can use the robe to borrow the facts of the case. He uses the robe to borrow what the givens are, what the conditions are, when the mice either did or didn't occur. You can use the robe to figure out what the mice of there occurred or didn't occur, but you can figure out what all the givens.
No, he's talking on a Rambam. No, the Rambam talks about a case that a man, somebody left a baby on my steps, a little baby on my steps, and we don't know whether the baby is a Jew or a non-Jew. And 99.99% of the women who are able to give birth to babies in North America are Jewish. So the ruba, the ruba, the ruba, 99.99 that this baby is Jewish. But because the shifcha achas by Medina, Medina means a city, it doesn't mean North America. If it would be North America, some of the Ram would not say what he said. He said, but Medina means in a big city. So if there's one shifcha who's ruya l'hoilis in that city, and there is a far-fetched possibility that maybe that's her baby, maybe the baby is not Jewish, but since the odds are 9,999 to 1, so you don't have to be, you assume that the child is Jewish and you send him to a yeshiva, and you don't have to be megayer him, and you give him an aliyah, you give him a bar mitzvah, and you can marry him, and you can give him a smich, and he can be a rabbi and everything. But if later on, after he gets married, his wife is mezana, you won't give her mitzvah, because you can't give mitzvah based on her own. So there the Rambam is talking clearly about a case we have assumed for the last 35 years that the man was Jewish. And still, and the Mises news we see under our eyes, we have Adam that the woman was Mazan. So he says, I didn't say over the Rambam. That's the Rambam in Suri Bia where he says that we cannot follow Ro to give me. No, he was never told her in the mix for the same day. It's not enough just to be mekabel. Rambam says it's not necessary to be mekabel himself. Not necessary. Not necessary. Okay. But if he didn't, Oh, that's the question. So apparently the Rambam is of the opinion, we always assume that there are two kinds of Jews. There's a Jew who's born a Jew, and then there's a Jew who's who converts, a non-Jew who converts. So the Jew who converted became a Jew with a Meiser Geiris, and the Jew who was born to a Jewish mother didn't have a Meiser Geiris. He's naturally a Jew. That's a Metzius. So apparently the Rambam thinks that it's not so. That if my mother was Jewish, it's not that I am naturally a Jew. I mean, how did my mother become Jewish? Because she converted. Or her mother was Jewish. And how did her mother become Jewish? Because she converted. Her mother was Jewish. But somebody had to convert. And if you have to go all the way back, go back to Maimon HaSinai. Somebody converted. So all the people who are Jewish today is directly because of a Meiser Geiris. Either their own Meiser Geiris, or the mother's Meiser Geiris, or the grandmother's Meiser Geiris, or the great-grandmother's Meiser Geiris, or whoever was there at HaSinai. Somebody had to do a Meiser Geiris. So Kedushas Yisrael is never Chal Me'eleha. Kedushas Yisrael is always Chal Ha'idei Meiser Geiris. Because Rabbeinu Hananel later in Shabbos, in Perek HaFlez in Milah, has such an idea. Respect to a different din. Let's talk about the Rambam. Has respect to a different din. But the Meiser Geiris of the parents, or the forefathers, or the great parents, grandparents, whatever it is what affects, what causes the children and the grandchildren to become Jewish. That's apparently the way the Rabbi Chava understands the Rambam. That to ascertain that a person is a Yisrael is always a bearer of a Meiser. It's never a bearer of a Metzius. And for that, Rov is no good by Din Nefashim. The Rambam quotes in Hilchas Malachim, the Rambam quotes in Medrash on the pasuk by Yisro Yitzchok Baruch Avim to Bashana he Meir Shiorim. How did he know that it was Meir Shiorim? 100 times as much as he thought would grow. So Rashi says, Rabbi Sein Omer Omer Zeh LeMais V'Soya. He made an omen how much mice he'll have to give, and it turned out he had to give 100 times as much, because 100 times as much through a group. So the Rambam quotes in Medrash that Yitzchok was the first one who was Hifrish Mice. He says that Avram was the first one who was Mitzav Alamilo, Yitzchak got an additional mitzvah hifish maisus, and Yankiv got an additional mitzvah of gidah nasha. Each one of the others had an additional mitzvah. The medrash rabba. The rabbi asks on the Rama, why does he say that Yitzchak was the first one to be mafish maisus? It says in the earlier sefer that vayitel lo maisim mikol, that after the mochama was kedoloim and all the four kings with the five kings, Avram beat them all. Malchitzedek Malach Shalom Hoti Lechem Lo Yehu Koy Lekel Yoyim. That it says vayitel lo maisim mikol. He gave him maisim. So even Avram already gave Maisa. What is the Rambam claiming in the name of the Medrash? That Yitzchak was the first one who received Maisa.
It wasn't
him.
It's not
Avram over
there.
He took the stuff
that he
didn't
want. So that was it.
He wanted to give it back, but he thought that the Chelet Gavoy, he can't give Mezaterah. So he had to give his stuff, he had to give his Maisa, and then he had to give his Maisa, and then he gave everything else away. But he did fulfill the mitzvah of Maisa. So there are five comments on that Rambam, that these are two different Maisas. One is Maisa Tzav and one is Maisa Tzvua. Maisa Tzav is a mitzvah of Tzedokim. Avraham Avinu gave Tzedokim, he gave Maisa Tzav. He gave away 10% and he returned back to Menachem Sholem 90%. And this is Maisa Tzvua, they're two different things.
Where did he give it?
He gave it to the yeshiva, no? The Malki Tzedek was Shem Benoya.
He gave it to the Maisa, the way.
It was Maisik Sofen. Maisik Sofen is supposed to give Shalom Leiteir. The original source of Maisik Sofen is the Sifrei on the Pasuk Aser Tiasen. So it says you should give 10% of your Rebbe Shalom Leiteir. You see?
Oh,
who did Yitzchak give it to? I don't know. Who was he going to give it to? Could be. He took it over as a tax deduction. Gave his charity to that yeshiva, took it over the tax
deduction.
They gave it to Malki Tzedek Melech Shoven. Rashi says Malki Tzedek Melech Shoven was Shem Ben Eber, Shem Ben Noya. Shem Ben Noya, because the Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshiva Shem Ben Eber. I don't know. Maybe he lived so long. Shem lived so long. So he didn't give his son an opportunity to become a Rosh Hashim. It says that Yitzchak dug be'eros, v'yachva be'eros amam shechof b'nei Avram avi, v'ikolam shemes kashemes shechof lehen avi. He dug the same wells that his father dug, and he gave the same names that his father gave. So Rabbeinu B'chai comments on this passage that from here we see that we should always stick to our masoros avos, even with respect to using the same language. My father used to call it Adius. I should also call it Adius. I shouldn't call it Adius, whatever. If I would call it Tilim, I should call it Tim, I shouldn't call it Tilos. The Malbim put out a safe, he called it Tirish and Tilim, he called it Tilos, safe and Tilos. The people had a Tainus, for a few thousand years it was called Tilim, and all of a sudden the Malbim came along and called it Tehilos. Or other things like that, people like to give different names. So the Pastor says that Yitzchak was a very big medactic, but he didn't change anything, even the names he didn't change. And I think that Rabbeinu B'chai adds on, maybe that's why his name was never changed at all. He never got any other name, because he was such a captain. He was so miser on Masoret that you shouldn't change anything. But his name was never changed. Even though Yankee's name was a good name, his name was given also by the Rebbe Shalom. So his name, even when he got another name, he maintained his original name. But Yitzchak never got another name, because he was a stickler for Masoret. So he stuck with the original name that he was given by the Brit, Yitzchak. The Rebbe Shalom didn't give him another name. That's Tak Rabbeinu B'chai, and that's what. The Pasuk says that Yitzchak became a Tagi Nohar, but the Chena Einov Meiraot. So the Gemara has a comment, why did he go blind? The Gemara says in Megillah, because Otzela Histaka, Rashi quotes different Midrashim. The Gemara Megillah has another comment, Otzela Histaka Bifnei Adam Rosho, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and his son Esau be given agrois to Russia. He was always mistakel b'fana. So as a kol mistakel b'fnei adam Russia ain of kehos. So the Gemara says that that's why he became blind, even though he didn't realize that his son was in Russia. It's interesting.
Maybe they didn't look him in the face. The Mogen Avraham points out that there's a chilek between the Yitzchakel and Lira. Lira means just a glance or something. Yitzchakel means to look with intensity.
So the Gemara says in Megillah that Yitzchak used to be mitakel b'fnei Esau, and even though he didn't realize that he was a Rasha, that's why he became blind. What's the Shia? I don't know. I don't know. There's a whole literature in the different front on this, etc. It seems that they all were borrowing from the Ravid Hazov. He's the first one who quotes this and has a lot on this pasuk, that Yitzchak said he wants to give the bracha to Esav. So he says, "Havir li tzayid v'aseli matam v'yachelo, give me a delicious meal, and then I'll give you v'arach kol apnei Hashem v'chnei Moshe, then I'll give you a bracha." So the Maharam Rittenberg has a tshuva based on this pasuk, that the Kohanim could only give a bracha, they can only do them when they're in a very happy mood. If the Kohen is not shori b'simcha, then he can't do them. So it's based on that Maharam Rittenberg that the Mordechai quotes, Minhagim, that Kohen who's in Avelis doesn't do them because he's not shori b'simcha, so he's not in a good mood. And one minig has it that a Kohen who's single, Ashori b'lai isha, shori b'lai simcha, that he cannot do them. Whoever is not shari b'simcha shouldn't do. The Ramo quotes that in Shulchan Aruch that a kohen who's in avelus shouldn't do. The Pichadosh asks the Ramo, how can it be? How can it be? We only do chen on Yom Tov. The kohen. I mean, if we only do chen on Yom Tov and on Yom Tov, it would be avelus for Hetzia. But the kohen doesn't do. I just say it's not available for Shahed. Not available. He's not observing available. Has nothing to do with available. So that's the fact. He's not a new guy available. He is an available. That's the fact. What do you mean, how there is so?
No, what do I want to say? When we said that
that's what Rav Shlomo Levilna has in his tshuva. He says that the Ramo's statement that the Kohanim who are in Avelu should not duchen goes when they used to duchen every day. They used to duchen on the weekday, so then he shouldn't duchen. But on Yom Tov, he claims that no Avelu is not at all on Yom Tov. Not on Yom Tov, not on Chalamoy, there's no Avelu to Yid Beis Kodesh. He says in Avelu, Yid Beis Kodesh can go to any party he wants on Yom Tov and on Chalamoy. I never heard of such a thing. He was a diner though, not in the days of the Ramadan, 100 years later. That's what he writes in the Sefer Binyan Shlomi. He says that there's absolutely no avelus at all on Yom Tov and Achalamay. So he says the Ramo says that Kohanim shouldn't duchen when they're in avelus goes, when you duchen every day. But if you only duchen on Yom Tov, then on Yom Tov there's absolutely no avelus whatsoever that you should do. It's very difficult. The Ramo talk when they duchen every day. They haven't been duchening every day for quite a few centuries. The Ramo was born after they stopped duchening every day. What do you mean the Ramo is talking about they duchen every day? Now they duchen every day in Eretz Yisrael. When the Talmidei HaGro went to Eretz Yisrael, so they introduced the practice that the Goyim wanted to introduce in Vilna, and it didn't work. And Rav Nachman Adler wanted to introduce in Frankfurt, and it didn't work there. They wanted to introduce the duchen every day, and it didn't work. They were contemporary, it didn't work. So when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they introduced that they duchen every day. But they haven't been duchening for many centuries every day. The Shulchan Aruch, they quote that the only duchen on Yom Tov. What did he say? The Ramos talking when they used to duchen every day. It's not so.
So we used the
Maisim. Absolutely, the building. It's asking how local the Maisim. In his sefer, like the Bichash, but most people have the minig like the Ramos.
Uh-huh.
Not to do.
No. They
told me Rav Soloveitchik, I never heard of it. They told me that the Rav Soloveitchik used to tell Kohanim that they should do, even in Avelu. Like a Shlomo Levilna.
Isn't it like the
Yeah, that's an issue of Nihug Avelu. That's an issue of Nihug Avelu. This has nothing to do with Nihug Avelu?
No, but the Kohanim won't go out. Everyone knows they're not going out.
He's demonstrating that he's an Avelet Yud Beis Chodesh. Is that in Stira to Yom Tov? Avelet Yud Beis Chodesh is in Stira to Yom Tov? I don't think so. Shiva is in Stira to Shabbos. Yeah. No, even in Yud Beis Chodesh, the Kohanim don't do things. So even when they're in Shloshim in a Shiva, if it's such an Avelet, which is such an Indian of Avelet, which is not giving Yud Beis Chodesh, that's so slight, so that's not considered in Stira to Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's so slight and Avelis, but not getting an Aliyah, that only applies during Shiva. The issue to get an Aliyah is only in Shiva. So that's in Stira to Yom Tov, that's in Stira to Shabbos.
Will you walk out?
That's the common practice. Yeah, whoever doesn't look and has to walk out. They can't stay in the Shiva.
The
Allah doesn't pass it, it's just a minute. No, Mikra then he has to do it. Just a minute. Here Yitzchak wanted to be in a very happy mood, so he wanted to have some wine also. It says, Vayover Vayayin Vayesh. They drank the wine and then he gave him the bracha by Duchen, and you don't say that. The Kohen has to be in a very good mood and give Malachim. So the Ravid Azov quotes that kasha, so he says, no, that's a special din. The Gemara in Tainus learns that from a pasuk. That duchening is hukish to avoda, but just like a shasta yain is forbidden to avoda, so to a shasta is forbidden to duchen. But over here it's just a bracha. Yitzchak wasn't a coin. It wasn't hukish to avoda. It's just a bracha. It's a bracha. Adadabe. So if he has a drink before, he's in a happier mood. So I'll give the bracha with more simcha. So there's a problem over here. How could Yaakov fool his father? Isn't there something wrong with fooling the father? So Rivka told him, Allah ki the lost kodini. What does it mean, Allah ki the lost kodini? The Talmud says, Allah yitama bin nevua de lo yeitim le batayu al ochtiri. That she had a nevua that he should do it and nothing would happen. She had a nevua that the hayu ashur that he should do the aver. No kasha. Yeah. That's according to that interpretation that the Tadimunkulu has, Allah, to the Lord Khadini, Allah is Tamra bin Nevua, then nothing will happen. That's not the way the simple reading of the Pasuk sounds. To the Lord Khadini. So the Tadimunkulu has a tradition that that's what it means. Others learn that that's not the Pshat. Others learn that he didn't have any Nevua and he did it on his own. How are you allowed to do such a thing? So the Nesiv has an essay about it. But the Gemara has sometimes, in some cases, you say, sometimes you're allowed to do a little aveira in order to gain a lot. You're not allowed to defraud a bank of millions of dollars in order to support a yeshiva or something like that. That there perhaps the aveira is greater than the mitzvah. But if you really have a clear-cut situation where the aveira is very slight and the mitzvah that you're going to gain in the end is very great, then the Gemara will have in rare instances a cloud of chatei b'shul shetiske. In very unusual instances, we will say that the ends do justify the means. The other thing is that it says that then it has to be the very laver l'shma. It has to be an aver l'shma. It has to be l'shma. Whenever you do any other mitzvah, it does not have to be l'shma. But if you're doing chatei b'shul shetiske, then the aver has to be straight l'shma from the beginning to the end. If you have any personal hanoah from doing the aver, then there's no heter. So he interprets a medrash. Right, he interprets that Gemara like that. That Esther was going to be Mizana with Ahasuerus for the purpose of Hatzolot Kol Yisrael, so the Gemara is the Kasher, but she was Nana from the Avera, from the Tanya Avera. What was the Kasher? So the Rishonim explained that was the Kasher. That how can you say Chatei Bishvil? So the Gemara says, Tabas Mishal Rishon Rai Yisrael Tzadik, and she didn't get any Hano. But what was the Gemara's Kasher in the first place? And the Gemara thought that she was Nana. But the Rishonim explained that she would have had Hanoa, that it wouldn't be called an Aver Lishma, there's a personal Kaniyah, and then there wouldn't have been a Heter in the first place. So the Nesiv claims that that's the interpretation of the Medrash that says over here that when Esav came, and he said to the father, okay, Pa, I want to get the bracha, here's your meal, eat the meal, give me the bracha. So he said, who are you? He said, Esav, and he realized that he was tricked. So the Pasuk says, Vayechara Yitzchak Charod HaGadol Ad Miyoy. So the Medrash says that because of his Vayechara Yitzchak Charod HaGadol Ad Miyoy, Charod Esav was screaming and Yitzchok was screaming, all the screaming. So the Medrash says that because of all the screaming that was going on, that's why the Jewish people had to have a kapora years later. And the suffering that we had in the days of Esther was a kapora for that, because the Pasuk says, "Va'yitzchok tzalta gedola mora dead." It says that when Mordechai heard about the gzeira, that you're going to wipe out all the Jews, So he was very aggravated. So the same phrase appears, Leitzak Tzotah Zgoyim Ovir. So the Medrash assumes that that was as a result of this. What do you mean that was a result of this? What's the connection? Because the Nativ says that he thinks that this is the pshat, that Esav came in and he started to scream at the father. What do you mean? He stole my bracha, he was aggravated and everything. And Yitzchak was screaming. And then Yaitif, when he heard that, must have had anor that his brother was aggravated. So that's what the Medrash says. He had a little hanor from the fact that his brother Esav was aggravated, so it's already oitav there l'shma. He already had a little pniyah there. If you do, let's say, if there's a din in the Torah that you have to do this mitzvah, even if you get hanor from it, let's say I do a mitzvah and I show off, right? I get a lot of kovid, I get a lot of money from doing the mitzvah. But that's the mitzvah that you have to do. So if you do the mitzvah shelo l'shma, so the world doesn't come to an end. It would have been nicer if you do all the mitzvahs l'shem shamayim without any personal pniyas. But if you do a shelo l'shma, nishgefela. But if you're not doing a mitzvah k'suva b'Torah, you're doing chatei, b'shvil shetiski, you're doing an avera l'shma, so then it has to be l'shma from the beginning to the end. So if you have personal pleasure, personal gain from it, so you'll need a kapara for that. The very last pasuk in the parsha, there's a famous Yerushalmi that comments on the pasuk that Yishmael married a girl whose name was Mochalak. What do you mean her name was Mochalak? But the other pasuk says she had a different name. Basmat Bas Yishmael. Now all of a sudden her name is Mochalak. But the Yerushalmi says the real name was Basmat, and she's called Mochalak because when a person gets married, then call him Avayin Aisa. The Aisa of Harosha get a Mechilas Avayin. So it says the Achrenim said that's one of the reasons why we have a minute at the Chasim Kalafis, because we get a Mechilas Avodis, yeah? So the Reisha Rav, he has to say, if he doesn't understand, just like Yom Kippur is not Mechaper if you don't do tshuva. If you bring Korbanos not Mechaper if you don't do tshuva, and if you get Malkus, the Rambam says not Mechaper if you don't do tshuva. You walk in there, it's supposed not Mechaper, well, the Mechaper will only work if you do tshuva. The Chasim gets married, it only works if he does tshuva. So that's our minute. He says, he does tshuva, he gets Mechilas Avodis. Where does it say that Esav had a half minute to do tshuva? Just to the contrary, he quotes a medrash at the end of the Seder that says he was thinking about converting and then he changed his mind to less with it, and it became a bigger shagas than before. So why should he have an atonement? His life is by kash? His life is by Sophia? Man, the Pasuk says that he listened to the father. That's not listening. Father said he wants his son to marry a Jewish girl. He married a shiksa. But Yishmael's family is also shiksa. Not a Jewish girl. Closer, it's imitation Judaism. Okay, didn't do what the father thought. Everything he did was a fraud. What do you say about the brachas?
No, the brachas were if you're good, then you get the brachas. Mm-hmm. They didn't mean this, so he would have gotten the name. And he would have gotten more trouble if he got the name.
When Yaakov came in to the father to get the brachas, he says, "Hakol kol Yaakov ha'yadai mizei Esav." What does that mean? That he had a spear in here. He didn't know how to be toshik. The call sounds like Yaakov, the Adayim, seems like it's Esau, he couldn't figure it out, and then later on he passed him that it was Esau. Apparently if there wouldn't have been a steer, if there wouldn't have been Yadayim, the Esau, would have probably been living with HaKol Kol Yaakov. So the Gemara learns out from this topic that there's a concept of Tfiyas Eina Dekola. The Gemara asks, how can a blind man be married to his wife? If he can't see who she is, if a person can see, but then he can live with his wife. He can see that that's his wife. He knows his wife with the three signs. He knows that he's not being mizana with his sister or tenacious fish. But if the man is blind, so he doesn't have a three signs, how does he recognize his wife? So the Gemara says it must be. But the Gemara says, hey, if the partner is Shoshan Balayla, if it's dark, how do you know that it's your wife? Maybe it's your sister, maybe it's your mother. The Gemara says, because you talk to the woman and you have three signs to be called.
You
think
a layer that's always much
lighter than the layer of the
layer?
Good catch. Why? Hadn't spoken to her yet. Okay, stay. Oh, so that's what the Marshal is bothered with that kasha. So what if he's a Suma and a Harris? What if he's deaf? and he's blind. He can't marry? He says, Hikshali Maskelecha, the Mashallah, not Gemara in Chulin, that's Tzadik Vav, that's Tzadik Zayin, wherever that is, in Gidal Noshe. He says, Maskelecha, the Esni Akasha, that based on this Gemara, how does the Summa Cherish get married? There's no Tzvi Asein, and there's no Tzvi Asein of the Kol. So he gives the whole territory. He says that the Gemara only needs it if they're in a hotel. If they're not at home. But if they're at home, then you don't need a Tzvi Asein of the Kol, you don't need a Tzvi Asein, you have a different Akasha that that's your wife. I don't know. The whole interpretation is
different.
Right. So if it would have been a kol kol yank, if you would have identified him as yank, no problem. But here there is a stira how you die with the yank.
But
He held it as a steer, then he was patient. Then he interrogated and he thought that he figured out that it was really Esau.
Why don't we say by the two on the third, since they got married, obviously we have a Zaki that already says that the wife, well, the wife can do what she's marrying in the first place, she's not going to leave.
So you shouldn't need the Tzvi Asena. Okay. That's what the Marshal says in effect. It says the only time the Gemara says you need the Tzvi Asena is in unusual cases. But under normal circumstances, you don't even need the Tzvi Asena to call it. The minhag to recite the Yitzhak Lecho is a very ancient minhag. The Mokar is in the Zohar. Whoever wrote the Zohar, but it's pretty old. It's been around for a long time to go on. So we recite the Yitzhak Lecho Matoi Sham. The Torah quotes the minhag that we don't follow, that you don't say the Yitzhak Lecho when the Yantav is going to fall out in the middle of the week. We have the minhag that you don't say the Hidayim when the Yantav is going to fall out in the middle of the week. But the Yitzhak Lecho you do say. The Torah quotes the minhag, you don't say the Yitzhak Lecho. But Shlech, what's wrong to say the Yitzhak Lecho Mital HaShemayim? So some suggest because Tal HaShemayim is a voracious rabbi that comes. Tal HaShemayim is referring to the Mon. But Yitzchak gave a bracha to, he thought it was Esav, turned out to be Yaakov, he should get, he should be Zechet to Mon. And the Mon didn't fall like Yom Tov. So whatever Yom Tov falls out, the Mon doesn't fall, his man is a Bechlan. So some say that since the Mon wouldn't have fallen on Yom Tov, so you don't say Yitzchak. I mean, it is not so. We say the Yitzchak, okay, even if Yom Tov is going to fall out in the middle of the week. One day in Taisus is that it's Midrash Mechalut. The other day in Taisus that there's no Midrash Mechalut. Okay. Okay. In the yeshivas, they stopped saying it because it had a bitl ter. But never amamor, if they're going to go sit and learn, but if they're going to go on a date, so you wait to let it go, wait another 5 minutes. But whoever's so eager to learn, so they should open a safe. Or in other communities, they didn't say Yitzchak Lecho in shul, they would say after Havdalah at home, either before Havdalah or after Havdalah. But the minhag to say Yitzchak Lecho is a very, very ancient minhag. It's mentioned in the Zohar, they call it mentioned in the Zohar two places. When Yitzchak smelled the begodim that Esav, that Yaakov experienced, he said, Rei re'afanika re'afkada sheberach ha'ashem, because his mother said, yes. When you go to the jungle to go hunting, it smells awful. The Gemara says in the latest album Tainis that it smells like tal tapuchin. That nisnuso imo reach ganevi. It smells like tal tapuchin. What exactly is tal tapuchin? Tapuchin? Whatever tapuchin was. Tainis says I'm not that. The tapuchin is the citrus fruit. It smells, doesn't mean apples. They had no apples in the Middle East at that time. It means citrus fruit. So the Bir Agro writes on the. This is a thing, I think the Torah Tmima quotes this from the Ravid Azov. This is one of the many things that he borrowed from the Ravid Azov. I forgot to mention. Interesting thing. So the Ravid Azov quotes this Bir Agro, that's why the Ramah says is a minig that you have an apple dipped in honey, because you eat tapuchim dipped in honey on Rosh Hashanah. Because there's one opinion in the Zohar that the brachas were given, the Yitzchak Lecho was given on the brachas were given on Rosh Hashanah. And since Kireach Dini, Kireach Sada means Chatal Tapuchim, so we eat Tapuchim on Rosh Hashanah Zeichet to the brachas that were given. There's another Medrash, however, in the Medrash Rabbah that says, that's the Zohar that says it was on Rosh Hashanah. The Medrash Rabbah says that it was Pesach. And that's why the Medrash Rabba says, Medrash Rabba in Shmos says that that's why, right,
that it says there's Tzav Tzav, Shnei Gdayim, Tzav Tzav, and Chagigah.
That's the copy of the Medrash, that the Beis HaLevi has an Agichasan, that it was Pesach time. So the Medrash Rabba says that that's why he benched Tal on Yom Tov Pesach. Why did he bench Tal on Pesach? Because he says, Mital HaShemayim. Because the bracha that he gave him was Yitin Lecho Kim Mital HaShemayim. This week we don't say the Haftarah, no? This week is Macha Chodesh. But if we would have said the Haftarah, now the Haftarah is from Malachi. The Gemara comments in the third parak of my Tutton on the last Pasuk in Haftarah, Kisik Sechan Yishmer Odad, Satori Rak Shemitiu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzavah Kresu. So the Gemara says you're only permitted to learn Torah from an individual if he's a Malach Hashem Tzavah Kresu. The Marav Ben, a Malach Hashem Tzavah Kresu, Yivak Shetor Mitiu. In La Val Yivak Shem. It poses a big problem because we have a lot of Talmidei Chachamim who don't appear to be such heilige malachim. They don't seem to be such great tzaddik. So on several svarim they point out that this only refers to Yivak Shetar Mitihu. If he's saying original Chidush Shetar, he's giving you his Hashkofer. He's giving you his Chidushim on the Tzaddik. But if he's just telling you over it, it says in the Rabbin HaZov, it says in the Torah Shlema, look it up and you see yourself, I'm not adding anything. He can be the biggest Shegis in the world. It's not Yivak Shetar Mitihu. You're not getting anything from his mouth. He's just saying over about the Tzaddik. The Gemara considers this a serious problem because when a person learns Torah from somebody else, he's going to imitate everything that that person does. Usually Talmidim imitate even the hand motions and the intonation of the Rebbe and the way the Rebbe walks, and those who learned by the Chazon Ish used to lay down on the couch all the time. Chazon Ish had a bad back. He used to lay in bed all the time, so his Talmidim used to learn in bed all the time, and the same all the things that the Rebbe does, all the Talmidim used to come. I remember years ago, Rav Soloveitchik, the Rebbe used to be very nervous in the middle of the show. He used to take off his glasses and put the glasses on and wave the glasses, everything like this. He used to wipe his face with his tie and everything. So the Talmidim always used to imitate everything, to throw the glasses and everything. The Talmidim picked up everything from a Rebbe. So that's what the Gemara says, that's right. So the Gemara has a din, that the Rebbe is not a Yirei Shamayim. It doesn't seem to be a Malach Hashem Tov. It's forbidden to learn Torah by him, so he's going to pick up all the wrong things. Unless it's like Rav Meir, the Gemara says. The Chagiga, the Rav Meir learned by Achir. And all the other Tanaim, all the others have not learned by Yachir. So how did he do it? The Gemara says he was an Adam God, Rav Meir knew how to learn. Who had a cell phone? Whether who was the right one? So the Gemara says Rav Meir was an exception to the rule because he already knew how to learn well before he went to learn by Yachir. So Telcha Achal Tzipot Zor. The Shachin Yeridei comments, how come the Pasuk don't quote that exception to the rule? So he says, because it's so rare that anyone should be such an Adam Gadol, so they don't have to quote rare cases. If the guy belongs to that category, that's a Shangrisim Gemara. He doesn't have to see in the Rambam and the Yeridei. There's no need to quote that exception. It doesn't belong on the book. The exception to the rule doesn't belong on the book.
Yeah. Not that he has his own will.
No. That means that he was a Tana Chacham already before he went to learn by Yah. Yeah. There is a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. Is it improper to appoint as a Shliach Tzibur one who is a Balmum? Because a Kohen is a Balmum, is not allowed to do Avodah Beitam Mikdash, but a Shliach Tzibur is not exactly a Kohen who's doing Avodah. Some say that it's improper to be Zoyan, to be Zoyan Tachar's Bochi, Mavaz of the Mitzvah. Others say no, the Magad Avon quotes, other Achraim say no, that there's a Zohar that says that Tachar's Bochi, respects those who are Kalim Shvuri, those people who are Tzibroch and Amenshin, Tachar's Bochi has compassion for them. If the Baal Tzibur, if the Shliach Tzibur is a Baal Mum, so it will have compassion. Others say no. HaKadosh Baruch has compassion for the Kelim Shvurim means that the person is an honor, that he's humble. Kelim Shvurim in that sense. But it doesn't mean that he's a Baal Mum. That's not proper. But the Mishkan of Yankov has it surely where he quotes the Pasuk in the Treyosa, in this Haftarah from Malachi. That it says twice. It seems to say twice the same thing. V'chisag Yishan Yivel Yizbarach Ein Ro, V'chisag Yishu Pisef V'chel Ein Ro. Then he repeats again the same thing later. Why does it repeat the same thing? It's not the same thing. The second time it says the Havesim Gozel Sapshech Esachoyle. The Gemara says Gozel Gumi the Pisayach, and the first daf in Gula Bar Gozel. The Gemara says that goes on the Korban. If the Korban is Gozel Pisayach Achoyle, the Korban is a Balmum. The first time it goes on the Koyin does the Avodah. So Balmum is possible. Avodah is nothing to discuss. But Shchitik Sheir is the Shchitik purpose is Balmum is Kosher. So you still allow Balimum to do the Shchit and the Beis Hamid. The Shchit Agish and Yifel Lizdoyah. That guy was half blind. So let him do the Shchitik. The Shchitik Sheir is that. The Shchitik Sheir of the Balmum. But another complaint. They would take a Pisech Echoyle and say, Ein Ras, okay. Pisech Echoyle is not allowed to do Avodah. But that's only Kabbalah Vienach Mitzvah Kuna. But Lizdoyah to do the Shchitik is okay. So the Navi complains, that's okay. Hakuzer no lefecha secho. Is that covered Ashchina? That's not right. You're not allowed to do that. But the Mishkanot Yankin time is that based on this topic, he thinks that it should be improper. You shouldn't allow a Balmum to be the Shliach HaTzibah. He has to dam, he should dam Yechidah, but he shouldn't be the Shliach HaTzibah. Hakuzer no lefecha secho goes exactly on that. In Shulchan Aruch, the Achronim have a machlokes whether you're supposed to shuffle when you're davening or not. So some say you should bedakki the Ramot, so it's the birth opinion. Some say you should dakki shuffle the whole davening Shman Esrei. Some say to keep you awake. Different reasons why you should shuffle. Some say to demonstrate you're a Shemayim, to demonstrate as if you have the aim of a year, and others say just to keep you awake. I think the Shalot says that. Make sure you don't fall asleep in the middle of the Shman Esrei. And others say, no, that the proper thing is that you should stand straight like a stick when you davening Shman Esrei. Just when you say the Shem Hashem, says that you should shuffle to demonstrate Yira Shemayim. And that's based on the process. Omitnei Shmi Nichasu, toward the end of the Haftar. When he mentions the Shem Hashem, Mitnei Shmi, he has Yitzitus, Nichasu, has Yira Shemayim. When Esav is interested in killing his brother Yankov, he says, Yikuvri may ever love the Hagar at Yaakov Esav. What is Pshat Yikuvri may ever love? It's a difficult question. So the belt says to Pshat that he didn't want to sit Shiva 2 weeks. So he says, when my father dies, and I'm going to have to sit Shiva anyway, then I'll kill my brother Yankov, and I'll sit 2 weeks Shiva for both my father and my brother. That's what the belt says. So Machloek is going to be showing whether that's correct or not. If two relatives die, can you be Yaakov Shiva with 1 week? The more time, the end of my talk, my 2 weeks. I think we're making on that. That was a machloek. Okay. I don't know. That's a good point. And there's a space of protect colors in the back. Well, it probably not going to the Pasuk says the Pasuk is not so. Rashi quotes, the Pasuk says is not so. He didn't want to aggravate the father. So he says, when my father dies, and he won't be aggravated, after my father dies, then I'm going to kill him. That's the Pasuk shot. In Yiddish, they say it's got to be reversed. He wanted to say, the word. In the back of the Ritzin Kulmut, they have comments from Abitzala Volozhina, the son of Abkhaim Volozhina. So they quote, it's called the Pet Kodesh. So they quote in his name, a different interpretation. So he said, I'm going to kill my brother even if my father gets a heart attack. Yikuvri may even love you, Rahavi Yisankar. Even if my father gets a heart attack, I don't care. But that's the shot in the Pasuk. There are different interpretations. Rashi says there are many interpretations on the Pasuk. So that's Rashi opened up the possibility of giving another shot, and so everybody gives a different shot. This Sunday is normal, regular time.
Everybody else dies. It's not an act that I do. I die. I didn't die. I dropped it. I didn't die. My Shabbainu is gone. It's the Rashman. So the Rashman told me, I want you to die. So he died. Kashim. The Dvar Hashem, that's what Ibn Ezra writes on the end of the Zayt HaBracha, Vayom Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem, the Shmur of Sifim Shabbat Kaila, 8 Pashas from the end, reads Vayom Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem, there is more Vapi Hashem, for the Barkinur, so the Ibn Ezra says, his death was different from everybody else's death. I feel the most awesome I should see to ever is that the Baruch Hashem wanted him to die. So the only going right over here also. And I said, it's on the Zeres El Yon, the end of Parashat Tazinu. And I said, his brother told him, Alei Al Har, how Abraham has that, and news for her, I want you to die, Kasha Meis, Aaron Achicha. So somehow Aaron Akon also died the Eternal. That was the mitzvah that he had. Aaron died. Not that he dropped dead. The Mela, it wasn't a leader of the Mela, he was told that he should die. He went to sleep and he died. So Moshe Rabbeinu was also told to die. I don't know how to do it. He was told to die and he died. He did it as a Tzivoy Hashem. What does it mean? The Etzem Hayom Hazeh, Alei Al Har HaAvorim Hazeh Har Nevo, what is that? The Etzem Hayom Hazeh. The Rashi says, the Etzem Hayom Hazeh writes in smack in the middle of the daylight. That Kesh Bnei Yisrael will say, we're not going to let him die. But the Banishman says, I don't care what they say, he's going to die anyway. What do you mean, in case they say they're not going to let him die? The Banishman wants him to die, he's going to die. How can they prevent him from dying? That Chaim Shmulev says the famous Drasha on this. So you say, you see that what the Koyach of Klal Yisrael is, that if they need a leader, and they daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they would be able to prevent the Banishman from fearing us that he wants. The Banishman wants him to die. But normally they would be able to prevent it. And here the Banish Hashem says, this time I'm not going to leave. On another occasion I would listen, I would let you break the exact. In this case I'm not going to let you do it. But they say that when they told this over to Abdullah al-Tawrek, the Rosh Hashanah, when they both lived in the Yerushalayim, so he thought that wasn't the pshat. He thought that the pshat was simple. The Banish Hashem told him to go on the high Nevo, he's going to die there. So they'll prevent him from going up on high Nevo. They're blocked away. He can't go up on high Nevo, so he's not going to die. He's only going to die on high Nevo. Moshe Rabbeinu commands Bnei Yisrael, "Simu levatchem lechol adavar asher Amelech meid lechem hayom asher tiktav eretz Bnechem." They should pay attention to the Shira. Somehow the pasuk of the Gun comes out. Now there's only this pasuk implies that the Shira contains kol ha'tarukula, and everybody has to pay very close attention to it. We don't really see how the Shira contains kol ha'tarukula, but that's what the Gur has. The whole idea is that somehow the Shira is supposed to contain everything. Simu levatchem lechol adavar, you have to pay a lot of attention. Chumash has this in other places as well, that you have to pay attention. They say a lot of it. Rashi says, "Sarach Adam Shiru, ain't of the legal the yarsim of the bottom of the divrei teir." To figure out from the Shira Tazim or Kala Tarukula, you gotta pay a lot of attention. It's very hard. But it's speaking hardly even with respect to Kala Tarukula, you have to pay a lot of attention. Why do you want to pay so much attention? You need to the permission, you read the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch and the Tzad. You know what to do anymore. So the same Shmuel has a drush on it. He quotes his Shulchan Rambam about the letter of the Shulchan Aruch. So he says that that's what it means, that it's not enough if you just read a superficial reading of the Torah and you'll just observe that, so you'll be missing a lot. You always have to pay deep attention to everything that it says in the Torah. Always have the Hazantan of the Torah. Because when you learn the Dina, it says the Hazantan, you have to pay close attention. Why do you have to pay so much close attention to it? You have to try to understand what the Kavanah HaTorah is. It's not enough just to follow the Dina HaTorah. When you understand the Kavanah HaTorah, then you have to add on your own, but you know that the Baruch Hu is driving it. A lot of people are missing that. Pasuk says in the middle of the Shira, the Parsha Tiva is Lomba, and Pasuk Lomba Hei. The Parsha Tiva comes to the Deris of the Yod, is on the ground points down. And we say, Kaim, the Esther Kaddish Baruch, by God, it was Mount Korin. The Jesus is Kaim, by God, very soon. It was Mount Korin. What does that mean? The petition says, no, by God means soon. The Mount Korin means everything is going to happen within close proximity to everything else. It's going to be true. If I'm making, if I'm going to be Mugger, and if I'm going to be Mugger, so you shouldn't think this is going to be scattered over the course of several years. No, everything's going to be the first I see this moment. Everything's going to be the graph out there very quickly. One thing after the other. Because the mocker for that mystic and the tabi is in this person. The first I see this moment, all the Asidos that are connected with the Bula Asidos will be crushed. It will be two things down there within a short period of time.